I thought that would take a little bit longer, so I thought I had time to go back and get a glass of water, but apparently not. Good morning and welcome. I know I've seen some of you before. This is the second time I've had the opportunity to come and worship with you. And yes, it is true that I was Henry's youth pastor. For whatever reason, people thought it interesting that I called him Hammering Hank. So I want to make sure that from now on, all of you do that. No more Reverend Schenkel, no more Henry, just Hammer and Hank, okay? So. Well, let's continue by asking the Lord to really help us focus on His Word. Heavenly Father, we do ask You that. You know, I know I speak for myself, and I've just got so much on my mind right now. So many competing affections. So many things that just want to occupy my thoughts and my desires. And so, Lord, I just ask that right now, for the next few minutes, You would help each of us to focus our energies and our attentions on You, to desire You, to long, to drink deeply from the well of Your presence. And Lord, as we open Your Word together, would You open our minds and our hearts? Would You turn up the soil of our souls? And as the seeds of the gospel are planted, may they bear much fruit. So to that end, we give You the next few moments in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you have ever had this experience where you're engaged in some activity, you're doing something, and it's just not working. Any of you ever had that experience before? and what's so frustrating is that so often it's something simple. It's something small that is keeping you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. For example, I was logging into a website that I had not used for some time, and I don't know about you, but I use pretty much the same password for all my websites. I know you're not supposed to do that, but there's no way I can remember all these things. So I go to this website, hadn't been there in a while, put in my username, put in my password, hit enter, sorry, login fails. Did it again. So frustrated. Finally, it locked me out. So I called up the company. You know, they have an 800 number there. I said, hey, what's the deal? Well, they said, you know, they kind of walked me through the process. Oh, they said, this is case sensitive. You were supposed to start with a capital D. You got to be kidding me, right? That was it? All the frustration, all the anxiety, for want of a capital D. Something so small, so seemingly insignificant, but it kept me from enjoying the benefits of this site. Friends, I want to suggest something to you this morning. And it is much more serious than access to a website or the use of some machine or something like that. There is something missing from a lot of the lives represented here this morning. And it is something that is seemingly small, but it is robbing you of so much potential joy, happiness, fruit, well-being. Something that at first pass, you're going to say, oh, I know that. Oh, I've seen that before. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. But how many times have we stopped to consider that the promise that is contained within this scripture is qualified? It's not simply available to everyone. Something needs to happen in your life and my life before we can enjoy the incredible potential blessings that God offers us. It's one verse, and it's found in the Old Testament, the 20th chapter of Exodus. Now, without even looking, how many of you can tell me what's in the 20th chapter of Exodus? Mike, what is it? Ten Commandments, right? We all know Exodus 20, at least those of us who grew up in church world like myself. Hard to believe I survived, but here I am. And we know that Exodus 20 contains the Ten Commandments. And this morning, I want us to look at the 12th verse. Exodus 20, verse 12. One verse. Here's what it says. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's it. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For those of you who may not be familiar with the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments is divided into two major sections. The first section is the first four commandments. And that has to do specifically with our relationship to whom? God. The remaining six commandments, or the second table of the law, has to do specifically with our relationship to whom? Others. Remember when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment? And he said, all the commandments can be summarized in these two things. Remember? Well, the first summary had to do with the first four commandments, and the second summary had to do with the remaining six. And what was the summary? Number one, do what? Love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being, right? Mind, soul, strength, body. And the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the commandments are set up in such a way that for each of those two sections, there is an opening commandment that sort of launches the first volley, if you will, in terms of our moral behavior. And then after that first commandment, the remaining ones flesh that out. So for the first section, the first four commandments, the first commandment is the foundation upon which the remaining three are built. That's why the first commandment is what? What's the very first commandment in that first section? Out loud. You shall have no other gods in my presence, right? Not before me, as in chronological order. It's okay to have lots of other gods. Just make sure God's at the top of the list. That's not what it says, right? Don't have any other gods in my presence. And then the remaining three flesh that out. So here we are now at the start of the second section. So this fifth commandment is going to provide the foundation for all the commandments that follow. This first commandment is going to be the one upon which we will build an understanding of what it means to love each other. And where does God start? Where does God begin to articulate how it is that we love our neighbor as ourselves? Where does that begin? And the answer, of course, is what? At home. At home. Honor your father and mother is the foundation upon which love for everyone else is built. Now, let's pull this apart a minute. What does it mean to honor? Right? Okay, we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. What does that mean? Honor, the word honor. Literally, the root of the word for honor is most often translated heavy, weighty, significant, substantive, something that you should give weight to, give it its due. I remember when our kids were growing up, we have six children. First five were all boys, and whenever we would go swimming, we would play a game called the match game. Some of you probably played this game before. The person who had won from the previous round would be assigned the responsibility of taking a wooden match, diving into the water, the pool usually, swimming down to the bottom, releasing the match, then shoot up and get out. And those of us who were in that particular round would be standing on the side of the pool doing what? Waiting for that match to pop to the surface. And then, of course, mayhem would ensue, everyone would jump in, and someone would emerge victorious. My kids had a nickname for me. The Walrus. Truly a term of endearment, I'm sure. But you know what they were saying in designating me the Walrus? They were saying, when this guy jumps in the pool, watch out. Because if he lands on you, he'll kill you. He's the Walrus. He is to be, listen, honored. We are to give him his due because he's heavy. And that's what God is encouraging us to do in relationship to our parents, not nickname them the Walrus, but to give them their due. To say, you know what, my mom and dad, regardless of my relationship to them, they are heavy, weighty, substantial, and they deserve my honor. Honor, then, your father and your mother. The next words are interesting. If you know anything about the culture in which these commandments were written, can anyone summarize for me the treatment of women? How were women viewed in this society? Any ideas? Someone besides my wife? Okay, seen, not heard? Well, property, that may be a little extreme. Close. My wife said second class. That's probably fair. Okay? There were, in the hierarchy of significance, there were men, and a notch below that were women. Below that were children. Okay? Isn't it interesting how many years ahead of its time the Word of God is? Because we are commanded not simply to honor our Father, who is put on an equal footing with father in terms of the honor due them as a parent? Mother. Honor your father and your mother with no qualification, with no caveat, with no ifs, whens, or buts. Simply honor father and mother. Give both mother and father their due. Treat them with the kind of gravity that their role deserves. And then the commandment goes on to offer us a promise. It offers us a promise. That it may, or that your days may be long in the land that your Lord, the Lord your God, gives you. I want to stop before we look at the promise. And I want to make a couple of observations about the fact that we are told to honor our father and our mothers. This may seem like a digression, but I assure you it is not. Do you know what one of the biggest mistakes that we followers of Jesus Christ make as we approach the Scriptures? Very often we go and look for what the Bible prohibits rather than what it affirms. We look to the Scriptures. In other words, someone will come to us and say, you know, as I said, I used to be a youth pastor, right? What would you guess was the number one topic of discussion in my office as a youth pastor? Just take a wild shot in the dark guess. Go ahead. Just anybody? Amazing! That is the correct answer. Sex. And one of the most common questions I would get is this. Show me chapter and verse in the Bible where it says you should be married before you have sex. Show me in the Bible where it says no sex outside of marriage. Am I going in and out?
You are.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. I thought maybe I was having some respiratory problems or something. I wasn't sure. So anyway, and I would look at this young person, and I would say to them, you're asking the wrong question. Don't ask, Where does it say in the Bible, no sex outside of marriage? Look instead for where it says in the Bible, sex inside of marriage is the norm. So then we'd open our Bibles and we'd turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul talks at length about sex. And then he makes this comment. He says, listen, I know that you guys have sexual desires. I know that you want to have intercourse. And he uses an interesting expression to describe that, burn. He talks about it as burning. We all know what that feels like, right? It's like you are on fire. That's why we talk about taking a cold shower, right? And then he makes this interesting comment. He said, in light of the fact that you are going to burn with sexual passion, you should make sure that you really love the person before you have sex with them. No. Make sure that you're engaged before you have sex with them. No. Make sure that this is an exclusive, they're the only person for... No. What does it say? It is better to what than to burn? It is better to marry than to burn. Where should sex happen? Inside the context of a marriage relationship. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible affirms. That's precisely what the Bible says. This is the norm. This is the best way. This is good. This is desirable. Now, what does that have to do with honor your father and mother? Guys, I want to tell you something. There is a tacit affirmation in this verse regarding families. This could not be more timely. Last week, Saturday, a week ago yesterday, Holland had its first ever gay pride celebration. And I went, spent some time there, had the gay men's chorus singing some songs, had a really tight band, a lesbian woman who was performing, had all kinds of tents and booths and so on, passing out information. And I was struck, by the way, by the fact that most of the information that was being distributed were warnings against the haters. The haters. What's a hater? A hater is anyone who believes in traditional marriage. If you believe in traditional marriage, you are a hater. Where would they get such an idea? Well, as you know, the Supreme Court has just struck down DOMA, which stands for the Defense of Marriage Act. And, guys, the issue is not should same-sex unions be afforded the same tax and legal benefits as straight couples. As far as I'm concerned, that's not the issue. Here's what's at issue. In the majority report written by Justice Kennedy, he made a sweeping moral judgment. And here's what he said. DOMA in 1996, when that was originally passed, was motivated by, now get this, was motivated by, the primary motivation was, and I quote, animus towards the gay community. Who can tell me what the word animus means? Hatred. If you believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman, you are a hater. And guys, I know you don't know me that well, but ask the people of the congregation that I serve. I am not an alarmist. I am not the kind of guy that tries to gin up controversy, but mark my words. The day is coming. Please, believe me when I tell you this. The day is coming where to say what I just said in the last 5 minutes will be against the law. This church will lose its 501c3 status. I will be fined, imprisoned, because I am engaging in hate speech. Can I tell you, when I was walking around with all these very dear lesbian and gay individuals at the Gay Pride celebration, as I was rubbing shoulders with these folks, I felt a lot of emotions. as I engaged in conversation with people who were passing out literature, I experienced a lot of emotions. Can I tell you what one emotion was most decidedly lacking? Animus. I felt no hate. I felt nothing but love. Nothing but a desire to winsomely share the truth, gently and respectfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they were already believers, then share with them what it is that God's Word affirms. And some of you may be sitting there going, you're stretching it a lot here. Just because it says honor your father and mother, that says nothing about gay or straight unions. Yes, it does. Guys, this is not simply a cultural expression. This is not something that has simply been determined. Because I'll tell you what, right now, there is no place ever in the ministry of Jesus Christ where he makes a concession to culture and concedes truth. Ever. Jesus never does that. So don't you dare for a minute think that God in his word is saying, well, I know that that would be culturally kind of insensitive to say, honor your parent and your parent. So I'll just say father and mother because that's cool with the people of this culture. No. The norm is father and mother, period. That's what the Word of God affirms. Just as surely as it affirms, always be ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that is in you, says Peter. But do so with gentleness and respect. So, honor your father and your mother, and then a promise is made that your days may be long. If you look in your Bibles at Ephesians 6:2, the Apostle Paul makes an observation. He says, you know, this is the first commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment. Now, what does that mean, that it's a commandment with a promise? And guys, please, get used to this idea because the Scriptures are full of it. It didn't sound particularly good, but the Scriptures are full of this kind of expression. What should be motivating us to do what is right? And the answer is because it's good for us. Yeah. Oh, no, it's just a byproduct. It's just an outcome that, you know, it's like a side of... No, it's not. Guys, either God, Jesus Christ, are horrible teachers, which I believe they're the best teachers ever, or the promise is put there to motivate you. Do this, guys. Honor your father and your mother. Why?
Because I said so. I'm God. I call the shot.
No. Why should I honor my father? What's the motivation?
To glorify God.
Yes. But that's not what the text says. So that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I love Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 is like a second iteration of the commandments. And it has a little bit different slant on this fifth commandment. Specifically, Deuteronomy 5:15. You know what it says? Honor your father and your mother. Has anybody looked it up? What does it say? Interesting. What's added there? So that it may go well with you. Guys, can I ask you a simple question? Would you like it to go well with you? No, I'm serious. Because to observe our behavior, the conclusion that I would necessarily come to is not that much. What does it mean to go well with you? You know what it means, guys? It means wholeness. Wholeness. It means emotional and spiritual well-being. Would you like that for yourself? Would you like that? And you know what? There are some of you, and you just can't put your finger on it, but it's just not going well with you. Something is missing. There seems to be, and I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, He's my Savior, my Lord, but there's just kind of, it's not well with me. Have you ever stopped to consider that the reason it's not is because you're not obeying the fifth commandment? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Dave, you don't know my mother and father. You don't know my mom and dad. Honor? Honor? Incarcerate, maybe, but not honor. And guys, I would just ask you this question. Where in the commandment is the qualifier? Where in the commandment is this qualifier? Honor your father and mother so long as they're worthy of honor, so that it may go well with you and you may... Where in the commandment does it say, stop for a minute and calculate how honorably your parents conducted themselves, and then on the basis of that, kind of say, well, should I obey the fifth commandment or not? Not so much honor, I'm going to say no. We don't have that luxury. And guys, I just want to concede that for some of you, this is going to be so hard. And you are going to have to rack your brains to come up with some reason to honor your parents. For some of you, it will be easy. I know for my daughter, it's just going to be a snap. I'll type the list for you when we get home. All right, maybe not. So what are we to do, guys? What are we to do? How can you and I begin to work toward wholeness? Let me offer you just real quickly as we close some specific recommendations. Number one, pray. Oh no, it's come to that. Pray. No, guys, that's the first resort, not the last resort, right? Pray about what? Pray that, number one, God will give you wisdom and insight as it relates to our culture. How do we interact with a culture that is hell-bent, literally, on thumbing God, thumbing their nose at God? How do we interact? In the Holland Sentinel this morning, which is the paragon of journalistic virtue that we receive, on the back page of one of the sections was a half-page ad from a guy who was anti-gay marriage. And he started out with several scriptures explaining that sodomy is a sin and that people will suffer the wrath of God if they continue in those pursuits. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that there may not be a place for some hard truth. From my perspective, that is not the appropriate way to engage the culture. Okay? We don't fudge on the truth. We embrace, at whatever cost, the truth. But we get on our knees and we say, Lord God, show me how to be winsome. That's step number one. Pray as well that God will reveal to you how it is that you might be able to honor your father and mother. Pray that God will open up some piece of understanding that you may never have had before. That's number one. Pray. Number two, preach what you practice. Preach what you practice. Here's what I mean by that, guys. I see a lot of you are married here. How quick are you to share and extol the virtues of marriage? To share with others the delight. You know, my wife and I have been married 35 years. We are more in love now than we've ever been. By the way, that is wholly and completely a work of God. Because we ain't nearly that smart or nearly that good. But the fact of the matter is, we love being married. A man and a woman. And guys, we need to tell our story. We need to preach what we practice. We're so quiet, we're so timid, and we're so afraid of offending. Or worse, I mean, honestly, who wants to be called a bigot? Who wants to be called a hater? Any of you?
Oh yeah, I love that.
Of course not. But we bear the fallout of the truth with gladness. Because God has given us that opportunity. Preach what you practice. Share your story. When you sit around and... Can I just make a quick aside? Can we stop the pulling our spouses down in public? So sick of that. My wife is too. I sit around with guys, oh man, my wife, she's... I say, you know what, dude? Number one, do I need to hear this? And number two, why don't you change that? So let's start preaching what we practice. Third thing that I would recommend to you, and this relates more specifically to our parents, pursue understanding. You know what? Your mom and your dad came from somewhere. They all have their own moving truck filled with baggage. My dad is a rageaholic. Praise God that both my parents are still living. But I grew up in a home with a father who was a rageaholic. Didn't have an alcohol problem, didn't have a drug problem, but he was a rageaholic. And you know, it wasn't until much later in life that I heard my dad talking to my Aunt Dorothy. And he was relating the experience of the funeral of their brother. His brother was electrocuted to death because he climbed a high tension wire on a dare from a friend. And at the funeral, my grandfather, Grandfather Guerin, said, and my father overheard this, you know, I really wish it had been Bob who had been killed. Can you imagine, guys? Can you imagine the father wound created in my dad's heart? Try and understand your parents. Get to know your parents. Find out what their family history is. Probe, ask, discover, seek, and pursue understanding. Fourth thing I would suggest is practice responsible behavior. Be responsible. Guys, can I just ask you this question? If you are estranged from your parents or you feel tension in the relationship to your parents, whose fault is that?
Well, it's obviously my parents' fault.
Okay. Can you, like, give me a percentage?
Oh, I don't know. I never thought of that.
Well, 100%?
Oh, no, of course. It couldn't be 100%.
90? 80?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, 80, 85.
So we got 15 to 20% that rests with whom?
Well, yeah, but...
Be responsible, guys. You bear some responsibility. What have you done to contribute to some of the tension? And you know what, guys? Can I just say as a quick aside, and this is true in almost every case, if you're having a relational issue right now with someone, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a parent, do you know what ultimately this is about? It's not about you and your husband. It's not about you and your sister. It's not about you and your dad. You know what it's about? It's about you and God. First and foremost. Take responsibility. Fifth thing I would suggest is put reconciliation first. Stop trying to figure out who's to blame, okay? Seek after reconciliation. I remember not that many years ago, my folks were moving to the Midwest, to the Holland area, actually Zealand. They were having a condo built and it wasn't quite ready yet. So we had like a mother-in-law apartment in the basement of our home, so they came to live with us. And they were there for, how long did they live there? 3 months, okay? So obviously we engaged them regularly. And I remember one day I was sitting downstairs in their little dining area. My mom was upstairs talking with Di. I was downstairs with Dad. And I don't know what compelled me to do this, but I really felt a strong prompting from God's Spirit. I had heard this recommended by Dennis Rainey, who had has written a book called The Tribute, which, by the way, I would highly recommend, called The Tribute. And we were talking about my growing up. And, guys, I took a huge risk. Huge risk. I mean, my heart is starting to race just recalling this. But I remember there was a pause in the conversation, and I looked at my dad, and I said, "Dad, I just want you to know something. I know that you did the absolute best you could in raising me. And I want you to know, for all those things that you did where you failed me, I forgive you." Immediately, my dad began to tear up. He said nothing. Hands in his lap, head down. And after what seemed like an endless pause, he looked up, and you know what he said to me? He said, "You know, Dave, I've always wondered why you've always been so good to me." Guys, can I ask you a question? Who do you think experienced healing that day? Both of us. Dramatic, profound healing. Now listen, don't under any illusion, because I know full good and well that for some of you, if you were to try something like that, if you were to go to your parent and say, "Mom, Dad, I just want you to know you did the best you could with what you had, but for all those areas where you failed me, I just want you to know I forgive you." You know what you're going to hear from some of them, right? "What the hell do I need to be forgiven for? Who do you..." Oh, man, they're just going to go off. Right? Risk it. Risk it. Risk it. Guys, the goal is to be reconciled. And you know what? If that were to be the response, there would still be incredible healing that day. And it would take place in you. One more thing. And that is, pen a tribute. You know, some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, "Man, my parents have been dead now for 6 years. My parents aren't around anymore." Or maybe some of you are saying, "You know what, I am so estranged from my parents, we haven't talked in years." Or some of you are thinking, "Man, I get along great with my parents, they're my best friend." Regardless of your circumstances, I want to urge you to, again, follow step number one, pray, and then pen a tribute. I did this 3 Father's Days ago to my dad. Oh, man, it's still so sweet. For me, I've experienced a degree of wholeness that I simply did not feel before. Go figure. Let's see. "Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with..." It's almost like it works. I'm not trying to be pejorative, but you know what, guys? I was so stubborn because I thought, you know what? He failed me in so many... I don't get that luxury. Neither do you. If your parents have passed away, pen a tribute anyway and then read it to one of your siblings. Share it with a friend, a mentor, an accountability partner. And if they are living, take a chance and share it with them. You know what, guys? You and I need to continue to plant seeds of opportunity, whether that be by phone or by mail, birthdays, anniversaries, Twitter, Skype, Facebook, whatever it may be. We need to continue to open the door. Even if it's just a crack, just keep that door open to the possibility of either reconciliation or deepening your relationship. So I'll close with this question. Will you do it? Will you do it? Some of you have wonderfully honored your parents. Will you raise the bar just one more notch? Some of you have never dared. Will you begin? Regardless of the state of your relationship, will you determine that today will be the day when you begin to take God's word seriously, honor your father and mother, so that you may live a long life in the land you are receiving, and so that it may go well with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's so good. May it come alive in our hearts. Lord, make it real for us. Please don't let us leave here the same people we were when we came in. Instead, change us after the image of your Son. We pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.